Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
This is the Fixer Sciatica Podcast.
So let's talk about core strength. When you go online and trying to find answers to solving your sciatica pain, the message boards and also the internet is going to tell you that your core needs to get a little bit stronger. And so we take a deep dive into identifying core strength and, well, core strengthening exercises. One, what are they? But also two, will they actually help me? And so in today's episode, we're going to be talking about what core strength is, how to actually test the strength of your core, go into the research in regards to what core strength and its relation to sciatica pain, and then talk about a couple of different strategies on how we can actually implement a core strengthening routine into our day-to-day lives so we can actually maximize the effectiveness of our own recovery plan. And before we actually get into this, I think it is important for us to actually define what the core is so we can all be on the same page and identify why is this area so important to look at or manage when it comes to dealing with sciatica pain. So I want you to envision that the core is the area that actually sits between your shoulders and your hips, pretty much your torso. And what's particularly interesting is the fact that the area between your shoulders and your hips includes your thoracic spine, aka your rib cage, your low back, as well as your pelvis. And your pelvis is going to be your sacrum, your sacral spine, as well as your ilium initium. So it creates the pelvis area. And the idea is that those areas, the areas that sit between your shoulders and your hips, is encased in a series of muscle. In fact, a ton of muscle. We have our low back muscles. We have your quadratus lumborum, we have your multifidi, but then we also have what are called your erectors, which actually extend all the way from your pelvis and translates on over, up to your neck. But then we also have your abdominals, which we have the transverse abdominis, we have the internal obliques, we have the external obliques, and then we also have your rectus abdominis. And so we have these muscles that encase the area of your core. And the general thought of trying to build up your core strength is to actually increase the strength of these muscles to provide proper support to your spine so that you can heal from sciatica. And when it comes to trying to do that, I think oftentimes people look at core strength and the first thing that people address is going to be how long you can hold a plank. And that is often a misnomer because yes, being able to resist motion is key, but when it comes to asking how long can you do something or how long can you hold it or how many reps can you do, it's really more of an indicator of your endurance, aka how long you're able to maintain a contraction as compared to actual core strength. Strength is the ability to produce or resist force, which then we have to identify, well, what exactly is core strength to begin with? There's three major categories in core strength, which I like to break it down into how muscles should be acting in regards to its actual physiological actions. And so number one, we have what is called stability. And stability is going to be the definition defined as being able to resist motion. So being able to generate force without actually creating motion. And so when it comes to the type of muscular contraction that you're going to be looking at is what I like to call an isometric contraction, meaning that the muscles will contract, but there's no elongation, but then there's also no contraction or shortening of the muscle as well. It's truly resisting motion. The second core strength piece or classification is what I like to call active contraction, where we're actually having a shortening of the muscle. So I want you to imagine like you're taking a dumbbell and you're holding it in your arm and you're doing a bicep curl. Your bicep gets a little bit thicker, it shortens up, and that is what we call an active contraction because the bicep muscle does get shorter. The third piece to core strength is what we call active elongation or controlled elongation, because rather than just pulling on something and it's stretching with you. An active elongation, also known as an eccentric contraction, is going to be a contraction of the muscle while the muscle actually lengthens. And it's something as if you were hinging, pushing your butt back as you're bending over. The glutes are making sure that you just don't fall over and collapse. But the last piece of this whole core strength and movement and function is an often overlooked section of what I like to call motor control. And motor control is actually going to be also known as core coordination, or are your muscles actually able to contract and provide control when they should at appropriate times? So we're looking at both, are they contracting appropriately, and the timing of everything. And so we're going to take a little bit of a deeper dive in regards to how we can identify which one we need. But let's talk a little bit more about the core strength test. A lot of times people will say, Ashley, I'm in a lot of pain, or I've been dealing with a lot of pain, and I was told that I actually have a very, very weak core. And the question that I would always ask is, well, how do you know if you actually have a weak core to begin with? And people look at me and they don't really have an idea. They don't have a clue. They don't really quite know whether or not they have a strong core or not. And so here's the ultimate test of your core strength. Are you able to stand upright and avoid falling over like a piece of wet spaghetti? If you feel like you're a piece of wet spaghetti, yes, you do in fact need some core strength. But if you're able to sit up, if you're able to stand, more often than not, your core is actually operating just fine. It actually has sufficient strength. And we're really just looking at how to use your body and use your core in the right way to minimize the irritation of the nerves that form sciatic nerve, aka leading to sciatica. And before going into a little bit more in depth about how can you figure out what exercises you're going to be using, or how do you know if you actually need to incorporate core exercise, let's just take a little bit of a dive into the research and figuring out what is out there. So when it comes to research and trying to see the actual effectiveness of a specific modality or specific technique, what you can do is actually be able to type in the word sciatica, and you go on any of your search engines, you go on this, your Google, which I often use, and you type in sciatica, and you type in the letters NCBI, which is actually going to be the international database of all the different research articles that are going to be out there. And then you also add in the specific modality that you want to be able to research as well. So for me, in this instance, to get ourselves prepared for this episode, I typed in core strength, sciatica, and CBI to really get a better understanding of what type of research is out there supporting or refuting the use of core strength when it comes to treating sciatica pain. And interestingly enough, I look at trying to find the most recent articles. And so there were two recent SLR systematic literature reviews in both the United States and also a couple of different countries in Africa. And they actually talked about the use of general core exercises as a way to treat and manage generalized low back pain. And what was really interesting was that I found a lot more research talking about generalized low back pain rather than actually sciatica itself. And there was one specific article that talked a little bit more about how incorporating a gentle core strengthening program could be particularly helpful for sciatica. And that is what is just often updated in the typical clinical guidelines. But there wasn't really any sort of specific research or current research that not refuted nor supported the use of core exercises for the management of sciatica pain. However, me as a physical therapist and as a professional, I often group the causes and issues with low back pain with the causes and issues that lead to sciatica. So I find that these articles can be used interrelated, which I found to be really helpful in regards to providing the treatment programs that I have for the patients that I work with. But then also as I find to be really helpful, especially if you're trying to find a program that's going to be working specifically for you. And looking at the general theme of why does generalized core strengthening help people with generalized low back pain or sciatica, it goes off of this general idea is that pain is usually due to three major components outside of trauma. Number one, it's going to be improper movement. So we'll call it poor movement mechanics, or in some cases, poor form, poor posture. Anything that deviates from what people...
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
People can define or describe as optimal movement. The second cause is not enough motion. So in some cases, you're not moving enough in a specific area. You generate a lot of stiffness or develop a little bit of arthritis, or arthritis could result in not enough motion. And that's something that we want to be able to look into. And then the third component is what we call too much motion.
This episode is brought to you by the Patient Advocate Program. Are you tired of not having support between your rehab sessions? Introducing the Patient Advocate Program, and we're focused on your recovery, and we're offering you 24/7 access to a doctorate of physical therapy. Stop waiting in line to be seen and stop spending hours doing long exercise programs. Imagine being able to get all of your care delivered straight to your phone. Best of all, it's affordable. We believe everyone deserves top-notch relief without breaking the bank. So why wait? Take control of your health today and visit PTPatientAdvocate.com and book your free call with our experts.
And so I like to kind of put all this together. What you'll often hear is repetitive stress, long-term degeneration, and just poor movement patterns. And so the idea is, how does core exercise and core stability fit into those three categories? And really, it's the idea of trying to create and maintain a stable column or core, or the area that sits between your shoulders and your hips. And what that means is, yes, you can follow a general program. It's probably not going to be too bad for you, but we have to identify, where are you lacking when it comes to the exercises in need? I was recently communicating with a client. They said, well, can you recommend any exercises for me? And it was actually someone I was communicating with online, so I didn't have a direct relationship. And really, the focus was, your exercise selection would be dictated by the specific goal, in which your goal is going to be dictated by what limitations you're presenting with. And so if we're looking at trying to generate core stability, again, we're trying to limit motion, then that tells us that your pain is actually going to be a result of having too much motion. And so our focus is going to be primarily resisting motion. And so this is going to be we're looking at the creation of core stabilization. If you do feel a little bit more on that floppier side, or you feel like you're moving your back a lot, oftentimes in this scenario, people are going to feel like their backs get really, really tight. Oftentimes when we're experiencing tightness in a specific muscle, our initial instinct is to actually stretch or massage that muscle out. But in most cases, when you're experiencing actual tightness, and it's just tightness at rest, not tightness during a stretch, but tightness at rest, that's often our bodies telling us that we don't need to move that muscle or that area as much. So if you are, in fact, a very flexible person, or you're able to bend forward and touch your toes and do a backwards bend, and all these end range motions are, in fact, painful, and you're experiencing what I like to call pain with movement, then core stability exercises might actually be particularly useful for you. So what that means is, what are core stability exercises? It's going to be a focus on resisting motion. So this is where actually people are going to be incorporating planks, whether it be a side plank, a plank on your elbows, a plank on your hands, a plank on your knees. Also reverse planks, or some of the exercises I like to call Chinese planks as well, where you're laying on your back. And again, we're looking at trying to resist motion. So these are going to be isometric contractions. And interestingly enough, there's been some good research on the focus on isometric contractions and a reduction in pain. So that could be another possible effect in reducing that as well. Usually with core stability, when we're trying to hold a specific position, I usually recommend 3 sets of 20 to 30 seconds with a focus on a maximal contraction with minimal motion. So again, it's going to be your plank variation. The next category is what we're going to call active contractions, also known as concentric contractions. And so that tells us that we're actually not doing enough motion. So if you are a desk jockey, or if you're someone who sits down for a long period of time, and sitting actually does not make your back feel very good, or makes your sciatica a little bit worse, and you actually feel a little bit better when you are standing upright and backwards, what's going to end up happening is that you might actually benefit from more active contractions into lumbar extension. So we're looking at stuff like Supermans, we're looking at Roman chair raises, we're talking about hip extensions, stuff like bird dogs as well. If you're someone who actually benefits from more forward bending, this is where we're going to be looking at trying to get into more crunches, partial sit-ups, really trying to actually facilitate the motion that actually makes you feel better. And this is actually going to be key when identifying, is there going to be what is called a directional preference? If you notice that if you bend in one direction, it feels better, then you're going to want to actively contract and move in that specific direction. The third category is what we call active elongation, aka controlled contractions or controlled lengthening. And this is going to be particularly helpful for the folks who have been in pain for a long period of time and are very, very scared of motion. And so really, it's most likely the pain that you're experiencing is more of the fear and anxiety of the pain and motion. And so it is important for us to be able to create a safe environment for you to actually do these motions without increasing the pain that you're in. And so a motion that would be a good example would be something like hinging. What you're going to be doing is you're going to be pushing your butt back, you're going to be moving your body through space, and you're going to be elongating your glutes, and it's going to be breaking free of some of that pain. It's a very abstract scenario, but really what we're trying to do is focus on being able to give you a movement that is going to be less scary. And we're going to be able to do that by, again, providing you a safe position, whether it be you doing these exercises laying down, unweighted, or doing it even on your knees. Not every exercise has to be done laying down. Not every exercise needs to be done standing up. You can sit, you can kneel, you can be on your hands and knees. So focusing on how can we elongate a muscle while under control. And then the fourth category, which I find to be the most overlooked, is going to be what I call motor control. Being able to actually have these muscles contract and generate enough force at the right time, giving you the opportunity to actually move with control. And this is going to be where I find a lot of people are going to be really benefiting, because yes, there's some folks who need some stability. Maybe some folks who need a little bit more active contraction, but this is going to be for the folks who have been maybe lifting improperly for the past couple of years, and we're going to have to try to break some habits. And so being able to give ourselves an opportunity to generate motion while also controlling it at the same time. And so the exercises that come to mind when it comes to motor control will be the incorporation of Turkish get-ups. You can either break them down to specific components, or you can go through the full range of motion. We have what is called Palloff presses, which is going to be the use of a band. And then we also have squats, and then we have hinges. So being able to do all these active motions while being able to coordinate the contraction of your core is going to be key to allow you to feel stronger and better each day. Core strengthening is going to be a really beneficial way to help you feel better and stronger. What I find is it's a way to really prevent the pain from coming back rather than actually treating the pain itself, unless the pain that you feel only happens when you move. And that in case, we need to be able to look at the quality of motion and how it is. Now, core strengthening, again, is going to be a huge component to your recovery, but it is a component and should not be just the sole focus of your recovery. Meaning that if you do need some help, being able to figure out what you should be doing to make your pain feel better, you don't have to go through this on your own. Hire a physical therapist, hire a chiropractor, hire even a personal trainer or a movement coach. There are people that are out there who are designed and built their knowledge to help you. And so platforms like this are going to be a great way to help you develop your knowledge and get you a little bit more informed so you can recover as quickly and as swiftly as possible. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you got some help from today's podcast. And for more info, check us out at ifixyoursciatica.com. Have a fantastic and pain-free day. No patient-therapist relationship is formed by listening to this podcast. We are not providing medical advice, and all information should be confirmed by a medical provider.